Yeah, just a chord. Just chord, honey. Yeah.
On the lower side, C. I can go down lower, A.
Yeah, right around in there. A little bit more volume. That's good. It's Friday night. Church, you're too quiet. It's Friday night. Ain't none of us in this house that old. Come on now. Do I need to prophesy already? You're not that old. There's life in you. Come on. There's life in you. I said there's life in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Can I ask you to stand just a little bit more? You say, why is that necessary? Sometimes we need help to engage. Amen. And I want to help you engage just a little bit more. Amen. I need some more volume. Give me some volume, girl. Hallelujah. I want to hear it good. You know, something I've found out, if you'll catch this tonight, it will help cause a momentum to begin to happen. And there's something so beautiful and so precious about worship. I don't fully understand it all, but I know it's the one thing that God will come and show up every single time, more than any other way. Amen? Come on. And I'm a prophetess, and I believe in the word of the Lord. Amen? But there's something about worship. There's something about worship that will, if we'll just engage Him. Some of you are looking at me like, what in the world are you talking about? I need to remind you, people of God, He's good. I'll go to this side. I need to remind you, people of God, He's good. Amen. And He's good all the time. And He's faithful and He's true. Amen. He is the one steady, sure thing that you and I have in our lives. It's the most precious thing that we have. So I need you just to take a moment. Come on, this month of November, a month of Thanksgiving. Can we just be thankful? Come on, can you just be thankful? Come on, you weren't where you're at yesterday, because today is a brand new day. Oh, that sounds good. I feel the wind and the breath of God on that. Come on, today's a brand new day. And sometimes you just need to begin to engage your spirit and be thankful again. Be thankful for His goodness. Be thankful for His loving kindness. Be thankful, be thankful. Amen. Hallelujah. So can you raise your voice? Just tell the person next to you, say, excuse me, but I need a moment just to be thankful. Come on, I'm talking about the thankfulness. It's kind of radical. It's a little bit cutting edge. People might look at you and say, man, does it really take all that? Well, if you only knew the goodness of God in my life, yes, it does. Come on, he was just crazy, crazy, crazy good to me in times that I didn't know how He was going to come through. So yes, my thankfulness might seem a little bit crazy. It might seem like, gosh, does it really take all that? But the goodness of God, oh, it's His goodness. He's good, He's good, He's good. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are good, you are good, you are good, you are good. Oh, you are good, you are good, you are good. So good. Hallelujah. Come on, just a little bit more. You're not there yet. Come on, I'm trying to help you. Oh, you are so, 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 so good. Ah, your goodness, your love, your faithfulness. Oh, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good. Come on. Yeah, your faithfulness, your love, your goodness. You are so good, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good. Yeah. Bresho na mayere. Breshele la nayare. Hey, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, oh, there's something about your name, the name above all names. It's Jesus, 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 Jesus. You're good, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. The name that is above every name, the name that is above every name. It's Jesus, 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 Jesus. The name that is above every name, the name that is above every name. It's Jesus, 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 Jesus. Pray. Come on. Don't stop now. Don't stop now. Brescia nana yere beke odoria ma de. Brescia nonoria la naya de de. Bre ye 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 ye. You're good, you're good, you're good, you're good. Yeah. You're good, you're good, you're good. So, so good, so, so good, yeah. I want you to catch this. It says, well, word the Lord gave me concerning 2018, a part of it. I just want to release it in your spirit right now. The Lord says, for those who choose to be in red-hot pursuit of me, will begin to experience unusual wisdom and counsel from heaven concerning a matter. Answers as to how do I do this will begin to come swiftly. Unusual favor will begin to find you out. Seek and pursue me like never before. And he says, lay aside all the weights of this world and begin to move in my yoke, which is easy and it's light. And Father says, as you do, you will begin to experience an eruption of joy, unspeakable, full of glory. So choose wisely, says the Spirit of grace. For I've graced you with the ability to dream big. The Father says, no more small thinking. Move from your spirit. And Father says, as you do, you'll begin to be overwhelmed at my goodness on your life. For the door that stands before you is an open door of fulfillment. Get ready to proceed through, for you have an heavenly invitation to this open door. And this open door, you'll see it in Revelations 3, 7 and 8, where he talks about who can open a door that no man can close and close doors that no man can open. So prophetically, the word of the Lord is, part of it this year, is there's an open door before you and I. Come on. But he says to choose to be in red-hot pursuit. Those that choose to be in red-hot pursuit. That means you can't, your worship has to come to another level. Come on. Your thanksgiving has got to come to another level. your place of gratitude and honor and love, it's going to sound different. It's going to take on a different edge about it. Come on. It's called hot pursuit. It's where you relinquish everything and hold nothing back from Him. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm not going to look, but those of you that choose tonight to be in red hot pursuit, I'm talking about a kind of pursuit that you don't hold anything back. That says, God, I am all in. I am all in. And I thank God where you brought me yesterday, but today is something new. This moment right here, I've never had this moment before. So, Father, I take off all the mindsets of yesterday that would try to box me in my right now moment, and I loose myself from that to be able to embrace the fullness of all that you have for me. Because, God, you said this open door, I saw it in the Spirit. It was like above the doorway, it has the word written, fulfillment. So that means past prophetic promises, both spoken and written from the Word of God. It's you're in your right now moment to see the fulfillment of that thing, to lay hold of it. But can I tell you, the thing, if it's going to require anything, it's going to require that place of hot pursuit, that place of worship that you've not yet experienced before. You've not allowed yourself to go there. You know, I can remember years ago being part of the worship team up here. And I can remember many times standing on the platform. And the presence of God would come on me so thick that I would cry uncontrollably. And then I'd go home after that lifted and I think, why did I do that? And the Lord said, it's because you were at a place of complete surrender, complete abandonment. When was the last time you've been there, people of God? When was the last time you allowed the fire of God to burn in your belly like nothing? That's what you're in for this weekend. Come on. Amen. I feel the fiery presence right now on this side of my face. I just now went, shh. It's going to burn. He says He's a consuming fire. Hallelujah. One of the other things He began to talk to me about this weekend, and I'm not sure how all this is going to unfold, but it's almost like, Pastor, He said there was going to be almost like a recommissioning of calls and giftings upon the people of God again. It's almost as if God is saying, I need you to come up just a little bit higher. Come on, because the callings and the giftings of God are without repentance. Amen. But I heard that in my spirit. And I even told my husband, I said, God, I don't even know what all that is about. But I know the Father's headed towards something this weekend. And that's a piece of it. Just a recommissioning, a relaunching, a refueling for the giftings and the callings of God that are upon your people. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I don't think so. Ooh, wow. I can't even see it. Help. That's prophetic because some of your batteries are dead.
Hallelujah.
Some of you need a recharge.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mackenzie. Everybody give Mackenzie a hand. Glory to God. No. I mean, give her a hand so she can get off the platform. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's good, isn't he? Praise God. I can't help but think now. I've heard Pastor Jerry say this a couple different times now that I'm a lot different than when he first met me. And I always wonder what that means. I had a friend that's gone on to be with the Lord, and he tells us all the time, says, you're all number 10s. He said, I thought when I first saw you guys that you was a 1 or a 2, but you're all number 10s. But when I was in Vietnam, number 10 was the worst. So I don't know what he meant, you know, glory to God. But I do know this, that there were some things that took place in my life. I was standing there thinking about that phrase, you're not the same anymore. And I remember so many years ago, as I was in a worship service and I'm praising God, giving God all that I knew how to do at that time, and just about the time that it was over and we sat down, the guy that was sitting next to me leaned over to me and says, Father told me to tell you, you need to praise him more. And I thought, my God, what was I just doing? But I took it to heart. And years later, you guys remember Jonas. Jonas was ministering and also leading the worship, but I was laid up against the wall, couldn't hardly stand, but the presence of God was so thick, and I wasn't the only one, he stood up there, and big tears just running down his face. We'd done been worshiping the Lord for about an hour and a half, and just not stopping, just worshiping the Lord, and I heard him say, Lord, teach us how to worship you. And I thought, my God, what have we been doing for an hour and a half? But he was saying, teach us how to worship you. And I found out that's one of the keys, that if we just spend time worshiping the Lord. I've discovered this. What I have to say is not as important as what he has to say. And if I just get into his presence, you know. And another thing I discovered so many years ago, and that is that the more time I spend praying in the Holy Ghost, the more in tune I get with heaven. And I go to a lot of places, and I won't look at nobody, but I go to a lot of places, and I find out there's a whole lot of people that claim to be spirit-filled that are walking around a quart low because they don't spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, amen. That's not an indictment, but it's an encouragement to spend more time praying in the Holy Ghost. It's a benefit, glory to God. Amen. In fact, take Paul's word as a challenge. When Paul said, I thank God I pray in tongues more than y'all, take that as a challenge, you know, and show them up, glory to God. Amen? Look at somebody and say, you got to say amen every once in a while. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know that probably Sunday morning we're going to be spending a little bit of time talking to you about what's going on in the church. How many of you know that we're in a wild ride? I mean, not only in the nation, but also in the church, and it can be if you're not careful, you can get bummed out by things that are going on. But actually, we're into a season where we're going to begin to see some things of God take place that we wasn't expecting. Glory to God! We've always put it off into the future, and God's going to bring it into the now. In fact, you know, what I see going on right now is that, you know, the country is getting flooded by all the different nationalities coming in, most of them illegal. But it's almost like God's saying, if you won't go to them, I'll bring them to you. Come on now. The harvest field coming to us. That doesn't mean I'm welcoming it. That doesn't mean I want to say throw the borders open and let's just go with it. No, but I'm thinking that we need to look at the positive in the midst of it. Amen. And so it's a chance that we're just going to have a harvest field right in front of us. Well, amen. Before I get into the message, I want to give you a quick mini message on grace. Something I've never heard anybody else minister. But you know, how many of you know that Peter said to Jesus, you know, Lord, I'm with you all the way. And Jesus tells him, he said, you're going to deny me before the cock crows three times. Never, Lord. Not me. You know, I'm God's man of than power. And when he denied him, you remember the one little servant girl said, "You're one with the master." And, oh, no, not me. And he even cursed and said, "No, I don't know the man." Remember? And then when he heard the rooster crow, he suddenly felt bad, suddenly fell into depression and discouragement because he missed God. He messed up. Are you following me? And like some of us do. You know, when you mess up, you get your mind made up, you're going to do everything right. And then you mess up. And when you mess up, you get discouraged and you get mad at yourself because you've already figured you're supposed to be better than that. And so when you get mad at yourself, you figure God must be mad at you too. And the first thing you want to do is do what Peter did. Peter says, "I resign. I go fishing." And because misery loves company, the rest of the fellows said, "We go too." Come on now. And so when they went fishing, what happened? Jesus shows up to them. And now here's Peter's already resigned, but Jesus shows up to them. And Jesus says to him, "Resignation denied, promotion granted. Feed my sheep." You're going, Peter, you're going from being fed by me that now you'll feed others. And all Peter could think about, well, what about my failure? Huh? That's grace, glory to God. Are you following me? In the midst of your failures, God goes ahead and decides he'll use you anyway, in spite of yourself. Come on now, in spite of yourself. And I know that, you know, the church likes to make the devil a big deal. But I think he's a little bitty devil and a great big God. But they like to build the devil up, and the devil made me do this, and the devil made me do that, and the devil did this, and the devil did that. I think most of our problems with our thinking. If we get our thinking right, if we ever come to the place that we understand that God loves us. Just Wednesday night, we had a lady that visited our church, and she was talking about how things were going on in her life and how all her life she was taught that something's wrong with her. If she had any fear in her life, something must be wrong with her. God must be mad at her. And I said, "Well, wait. Perfect love casts out fear. And if you've got Jesus, he's perfect love. And he casts out all the fear you have of coming before him." Well, amen. And so we've got to get a hold of the grace saying. I think it's a message right now. It's sort of like a message years ago when the church got a hold of praying in the Spirit, getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. It was used to bring a separation and a division in the church. Not by God, but by people. Well, the grace message is doing the same thing. And if you ever understand grace, you won't fight so hard against it. I've never found anybody that's experienced grace talk bad about it. It's all the ones who haven't got a hold of it yet. Well, amen. Well, Proverbs chapter 15, if you'll go there with me. We're going to look at several places tonight, but we're going to really see in Esther and Nehemiah tonight, but hallelujah. Glory to God. So Sunday, we're going to talk about transition, and I just want to challenge you. Bring your friends, bring your outlaws, your in-laws, and everybody else, and we'll prophesy to everybody. Come on now. We'll prophesy to everybody. We'll line them up here, and we'll prophesy to everybody. So just bring them. You can bring so many, you can do it. Hallelujah. And we'll go back to some of the old days. It's been hours. Well, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I bless you. I thank you, Lord God, that you put wind in the lungs of the people here so they can burn out a hallelujah, an amen, a glory to God, and a thank you, Jesus, and a praise the Lord every now and then, Father. I thank you, Father, Lord, just for the presence just manifesting itself. I thank you, Lord, that you sweep over us, that you have your way, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, amen. Proverbs 15 and verse 28 says this, "The heart of the righteous studies to answer." I would to God that was so. The heart of the righteous, he stops and thinks before he gives an answer to something. Amen. How many of you have met some people that you thought, well, I don't know about that? But the heart of the righteous, the person that's in right standing with God, the person that's walking in that right standing, will stop and study before he answers. He will pause and hesitate before he just blurts out anything. Then Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1, you don't have to go there, where the prophet said, I'll stand upon my watch and I'll wait to see what the Lord will say to me and what I will answer when I'm approved. And so he said, I'm going to be on this platform. I'm going to be looking out. I'm going to be waiting for God to speak to me, because what he has to say is what's important. But I also know that I'm going to have something to respond when he speaks to me. Years ago, I used to watch a program on TV. Some of you probably watched it too. And the game show was titled, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Remember that show? And the whole idea was the contestants were presented with trivia. And upon answering, the host would ask them this question. Is that your final answer? And I was thinking on that fact that many Christians have accepted circumstances, problems, diagnosis, predictions, lies of the enemies. And I was reminded of that game show, and I want to ask you tonight, is that your final answer? Are you coming into agreement with what the enemy says in your life? Are you coming into agreement with what a doctor might say about your life? Are you coming into agreement with what other Christians might say about your life? Is that your final answer? Well, amen. And so, by the way, when I say I'm going to ask you a question, that usually requires a response. Hallelujah. And so I was thinking about that. Is that my final answer? And I realized there's some promises that we have to take in consideration no matter what's being said around about us or what's being said about the church or you know, individually or whatever. There are some promises that we ought to take in consideration. One of them is that the Bible says that the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Amen. He will perfect it. He's the one that got me into this mess, and he's the one that will get me out of it. Amen. Not when I'm talking mess, I mean, he brought me into this life, and he's the one that will take me out of this life. Amen. And all along the way, anything I will face, any situation or circumstances, I know that he will take care of it. Amen. In fact, there's another promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Well, amen. He's there to the end. See, sometimes we want to move away from him. Sometimes we want to say, where are you at, Lord? But he's always right there. We have a promise. He will not leave us nor forsake us. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, he says he will not leave us in a lurch. Actually, in the original language, says this, I will not, I will not, I will not. In other words, let me get that drummed into your head. I'm not going nowhere. Well, amen. And so he says this. He says, when you walk through the fire, guess what? I'll be with you. Okay, so I forget where I'm at. When you walk through the fire, I'll be with you. See, we got to have some fire and power. And so he says, and you're not going to go through this thing alone. How many of you feel like you go through some stuff? And when you're going through the stuff, sometimes you wonder, God, where are you at? He's right there with you. Amen. Amen. He'll not leave you. He's there with you. Amen. Hebrews 13:5 again says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's where he says, I will not, I will not, I will not leave you in a lurch. Well, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 says this, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he it is that goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Think about that. Joshua 1:5 says, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. 1 Chronicles chapter 28:20. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage. Do it. Fear not. For he be not dismayed, for the Lord your God, even my God, he will not fail you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Now, see, the scripture said he's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in this world. Some of y'all waiting to get to heaven to get it. And he's given it to you in this world. Come on, that's a promise. And then he says this. He said, if you will seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And I'll tell you, if you get a hold of that scripture right there, that just one scripture, it will shorten your prayer list. People are praying all the time, God, my name is Jimmy. I need a gimme, gimme, gimme. Or I need a, my name's Anita. I needed this and I needed that. God, give me, you know. And we come before God with our shopping list. And he says, listen, I've already told you what to do. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Now, we've got the righteousness part down pretty good. We've accepted Jesus. He become our righteousness. But we stopped short of seeking the kingdom. Our whole idea is we want to advance the kingdom of God into all the earth. Well, amen. We also have this promise. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Amen. No weapon. But not only that, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Glory to God. Hey, how many of you got some enemies giving you a hard time? Maybe you need to please the Lord. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. Well, amen. Well, you didn't like the way I said it. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. There's no temptation overtaking you that such is common to man, but with every temptation, God will show you a way of escape that you might be able to bear up in it. Promises, glory to God. He says, if any man lack wisdom, I know a lot of those men. No, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So God will give you wisdom, amen. He says this, if you ask anything in my name, my Father will do it. Then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15, this is the confidence we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petition we desire of him. People are always saying, you know, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Now listen, that's Old Testament. That's Old Testament. It's for a particular group of people to a particular temple that they looked at. Come on now. New Testament is this. If you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. And he says this, he said, if two or three of you get together, not thousands, if two or three of you get together, there am I in the midst. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Power surges. The Holy Spirit, we had this promise, the Holy Spirit's there to lead you as a son or daughter of God. And he wants us to be successful, to prosper as our soul prospers. He wants us to enjoy the abundant life. Everybody say abundant. Abundant. The abundant life, and which includes healing and health. Glory to God. So let me remind you, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we may ask or think. Why? According to the power, what power? That works in us. What's in there? There's a ghost in the house. Come on. There's a ghost living on the inside of you. And because it is, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you might ask or think. Amen? So I want to ask you this. What formed your opinion that causes you to limit the power of God in your life? You see, we listen to man, we listen to the devil, we listen to the news, and we stop listening to what God said. Sometimes we just consider the way things have been. You know, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And we sit around like old men rehearsing war stories. Come on, comparing our stories with one another. Oh, you think you had a bad week? Let me tell you about mine. And we consider all that stuff rather than consider what God says. Well, amen. I saw an article the other day when somebody said, you know, brought this statement up and said, if it wasn't for bad luck, they wouldn't have any luck at all. Well, if you're living by luck, maybe you do need some luck. I don't know. But if you're living by faith, luck don't have nothing to do with it. Sometimes I think we let our past failures and our past experiences to get in our head and dictate our future to us. Put your hands on your head. Just say, get out of my head. Get out of my head. All my failures, all my shortcomings, all my mistakes. Get out of my head. Amen. So I have to ask you, is that your final answer? All those things that you've gone through, do you judge your life by what you've experienced? Is that your final answer? Perhaps, you know, that you've been subjected to the voice of others telling you all the reasons why you can't. Huh? I remember in the early days of the faith movement, you try to step out in faith, and somebody would come along, you know, you say, I'm just believing God for healing. Somebody come along and say, well, you know, you better be careful, because my Aunt Susie had that, and she died. And, you know, that stuff's going to get in your head. Are you following me? And so you can't stand in faith. You can't stand. And today we do it the different way. We say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different results. That's the definition of faith. You keep on doing it because you believe it and expect a different result. Well, amen. Somebody come along and said, you can't. You can't be. You say, I'm gonna be this for God. You can't be that. You're not educated enough. Huh? You can't do that. You can't be that. You're too old or you're too young. And that stuff gets in your head. Somebody says, you can't do that because you live on the wrong side of the tracks. No matter what side of the tracks you're on the wrong side. Somebody else says, you can't do that. Come on, you just can't do it. You're just going out too far. You're just trying to believe you're too big of things. You can't win. You can't become without. You can't become what God says you are. By the way, that you know that's what's happening. You are what you are becoming. You already are what you're becoming. But somebody said, you can't be that. You can't become this. You just can't do it. I had somebody call somebody up. He didn't know. He brought some people up. He was going to pray for them. And he brought a teacher up. And I listened to him as he began to minister to it. And he says, the Lord tells me you're educated beyond your intelligence. I thought, ooh. Stuff gets in your head. I told my wife, I says, you know, I've got two big old bookshelves full of books. And I said, I read most of them. And I said, one of these days I'm going to have to pull them all down to see how much of that stuff I still believe. And I thought, no sense in it. I know I don't believe it. Come on. Are you following me?
Yeah.
And sometimes that stuff gets in your head. And we let those voices come into our head and we come into agreement with them. I can't. I'm just too old. It's time for somebody else to do it. I don't have the education. Huh? And I want to say to you, is that your final answer? Man, get out of my head. Well, amen. And maybe the enemy is attempted to sway your thinking by presenting you with the worst case scenarios. Always bringing people into your life that are negative Nellies. Telling you why it won't work. Or telling you the horror stories of all their family members that went through things. Who tried to believe God. And without meaning to, you come into agreement with it, and it gets in your head. Y'all quiet. See, the enemy will use other people to derail you. He will especially use Christians to derail you. You attempt to do something for God, and it didn't work. And the enemy comes along, and he bombards you. Even daring to step out. Well, amen. See, he has his messengers. Amen. And sometimes they talk real religious. Are you following me? I tell people when I teach in school the prophet, I say, don't ask anybody when you prophesy to them if it means anything to them, because Christians lie. They do. If you get too close to home and they don't want anybody to know it, When Nehemiah decided he was going to build the wall, guess what happened? People began to laugh at him and mocked him. They ridiculed him. And sometimes when we decide we're going to do something for God, people begin to mock us and ridicule us and say all manner of things about us. And if they don't work that way, they'll go out and talk about you. Come on now. And try to blast your name in the neighborhood. In Nehemiah chapter 2, you may want to go there. Nehemiah chapter 2. Hallelujah. Y'all are the quietest bunch of Baptists I've ever ministered to. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Baptists. Pentecostals would be saved. Nehemiah chapter 2. Are you there? Say amen. Verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Amorite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing you will do? New life for the nations?" He said, "Well, you rebelled against the king." Note this. He didn't let it get into his head. He didn't accept it as a final answer. He answered and said unto him, "I said unto them, the God of heaven will prosper us." The God of heaven. What is this saying, new life, that you guys think that, I see you moved some chairs, new life, and you think you're not going to have to move anymore? What's got into you guys? Huh? Haven't you woke up and looked around and seen that some people ain't here no more? Huh? And you think God's going to do something? What's got into your thinking? Huh? And he said, "But we talk to the Lord God who causes us to prosper." Amen. The God of heaven, he'll prosper us. God of heaven, he'll prosper us. Come on now. The God of heaven, he'll prosper us. And therefore, his servants will arise and build. And notice, that's his final answer. You know, you're laughing at me. You're thinking I'm a joke. You think it won't work, me building the walls, but God will prosper me in the midst of it. You think that new life won't come alive and thrive because a few folks left? Huh? Guess where you're thinking that a few folks make the difference for everything that's going to go on in this ministry? A few folks can control that?
Come on, brother.
Come on. We got to change our thinking. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Well, amen. So what's your final answer? And so he tells them, he said, you don't have no portion in this. You don't have no right to it. You don't have no memorial in Jerusalem. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, when it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was ticked and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the armies of Samaria and said, "What did these feeble new life for the nation people do? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones of the heap of the rubbish which are burned?" In other words, will the church be able to build up? Now Tobiah the Amorite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone walls." And do you know that there are people in churches all around, in towns all around, looking to see if a church will fail, looking to see, you know, like a wolf looking for his prey, hoping that things won't turn out so that they can look good. Amen. And when you talk about, "No, you don't understand, God's on our side," they're thinking, "Yeah, right, yeah, huh? Sure, even if it does look like anything's going to happen, if a fox came up, it'll all fall apart." Well, amen. Y'all getting awful quiet now. So soon they begin to plot against them. And then verse 9, he says, "Nevertheless, we did not allow it to get in our heads." Nevertheless, it did not become our final answer. We made our prayers to God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Listen, mocking and laughter will not stop me. Come on now. Mocking and laughter will not. Boy, if that was the case, I'd have had to quit many, many years ago. Come on. I've been in a restaurant after having a conference, and people that was in the conference coming set our table, you know, be a bunch of us at a table, and begin to tear apart what we're doing in the conference. And didn't realize I was one of them in the conference. And just sat there, and then somebody finally would get their attention, and they said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And I said, "It's all right. If you believe what I believe, you'd be where I'm at."
That's right.
Amen. Simple as that.
That's right.
I'm not going to get blown away because you can't get a hold of something.
Amen.
Well, amen. And so you don't let it get in your head, amen. They mocked and they laughed. And I decided my final answer is it won't get in my head. Amen. People may be speaking destruction, declaring death to a ministry of a church, but that won't stop me. Amen. That's not my final answer. I make my prayers unto God and set a watch against my enemies. Well, amen. So you can be sure that the enemy will seek to exploit what you see and what you hear against you. Remember the spies? As soon as they saw the giants, the enemy began to work on them. And they developed the mindset that they were but grasshoppers in their own sight. And so they became grasshoppers in the sight of the giants. I can just see this. I can just see them looking in the valley and seeing the giants. And they think they're scoping the giants out, and the giants see them looking at them, and they just play, you know, puffed up and all big and looking so ferocious. Huh? Until now, they begin to think, "Oh, man, how are we going to do this? There's not enough of us. We're not as strong as others. How are we going to do anything?" And we become that grasshopper mentality. That's not my final answer. So the spies brought up an evil report that is all but Caleb and Joshua. I like these guys. I could have ran with them. And they basically said, "Get out of my head with that doubt and unbelief. Let us go up at once, for we're well able." I like where he says, "They are bread for us." Man, I'll eat them for breakfast. Huh? Bring on the lions, glory to God. Amen? And so, you know, it's trials and tribulations and times of testing just makes us stronger. Makes us enjoy the sweet taste of victory more. Well, amen. The doctor reports to you what he sees in the natural and tells you that it's incurable. And you have to live with it. Or they give you this death sentence. And you go home and you begin to think, what am I going to do? You know, how I better get my affairs in order. And you start coming to agreement with it. You accept that as your final answer. Hello, somebody. Well, the doctor says I'm just going to have this the rest of my life. I guess I'm just going to learn how to deal with it. You want to deal with it, get it out of your head. Well, amen. Quit taking ownership of it. Quit accepting it. I get ticked. Somebody says, "My allergies." Huh? Well, you just claimed it as your own. I'm not going to disagree with you. If you want it, it's yours. Huh? Are you following what I'm saying? My diabetes. My this, my that. And they take it and they claim ownership of it. It becomes their final answer. What they need to do is get those thoughts out of your head. Well, amen. What can I do? I know you weren't expecting this tonight. What can I do? Remember the guy in the Bible by the name of Haman? Before he was hung on the gallows that he built to hang Mordecai, he convinced the king to write a decree to destroy all the Jews. I mean, he had a plan. And the decree was published unto all the people, according to Esther 3:14. All the people had the... And it caused great mourning among the Jews. And they began to fast and weep and wail and laid in sackcloth and ashes. It was at that time that Mordecai challenged Esther to go before the king on behalf of the people, telling her that if she didn't do that then, that God would raise up help from some other source and that they would be a deliverer to the people. And then he says this, he says, "Perhaps you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, I want to just challenge your thinking. Perhaps you're in the kingdom for such a time as this right here. For such a time as you're living through right now. For the challenge you're facing right now. Perhaps that's why you're alive and in the kingdom at this particular moment. See, your life has purpose. And if you've either come into the kingdom to be an Esther, or you've come into the kingdom to be someone that God raises up because Esther doesn't do what she's supposed to do. And either way, you have a purpose. You have a challenge to face. And you've got to get your thinking right, amen? But here's the problem. Now, Esther goes before the king because Mordecai's challenged her to do it. She says, I will do this, but listen, I'm not going to just go in there on my own. I want you to call a fast. I want you to get everybody fasting and praying, and then I will go before the king, because you couldn't go before the king unless he summons you, unlike today. And so she went before the king, and she asked the king, you know, are you going to destroy my people? And he didn't know what she was talking about, because he didn't understand that she was Jewish, and the decree that went out. And he says, Esther, I can't revoke the decree I've made. It's called the law of the Persian, Medes and Persians, glory to God. And in other words, once that law was spoken, it could not be revoked. He says, I can't do it. I can't revoke it. And that's where most of the church would go home. It's been said. It's been spoken. So it must be. It's got to come to pass because everybody's saying it now. Everybody knows about it. So it must be that way. Well, amen. And he says, Esther, he says, I can't revoke it. I've set my seal upon it. And his seal means the same as I've applied my name to it. And I can't revoke it. When a king made a decree and applied his name to it, it could not be revoked. And so here's what he tells Esther. Esther, I can't pull the decree. I can't reverse the decree. But Esther, you can make a new decree. Come on now. See, the devil might say one thing, but you can make a new decree. Come on. People might say one thing, but you can make a new decree. The doctor might say one thing, but you can make a new decree. It can't be taken back what they've said, but you can make a new decree. Amen. I was watching this story one time. I've seen this movie several times. The story about Rudy. How many of you have seen Rudy, the football player who wanted to play for Notre Dame? He was in his heart to play for Notre Dame. But Rudy was, first of all, he needed to be able to get to college in Notre Dame. And his grades weren't there. All right? The second problem he had was he was too small. The third thing was he wasn't a real good football player. But yet in his heart, he was going to play for Notre Dame. His family laughed at him, mocked him, ridiculed him, tried to talk him out of everything. His brother especially. Come on now. Daddy looked at him sometimes like he was nuts. But he said, no, I'm going to play for Notre Dame. Well, he had to go to a secondary school for 3 years before his grades got up. All the time going through this thing, people laughing and mocking at him because he had this dream. Y'all got a dream? Huh? You got a dream? And people will mock you because of your dream. But he didn't give up. And so he finally gets on the team, and the coach promised him that, you know, that you can't get in the yearbook or you can't go down as being a team member unless you spend at least one or two plays on the field during one of the games. But Rudy got to the place, he was just happy. If I can just dress out, if I can just be on the field, I'll sit on the bench. I just want to put the uniform on. And he's almost settled for second best. Come on now. He almost gave up on his dream. His dream wasn't to sit on a bench. His dream was to play football. Are y'all following me? And then, but the coach says, I will let you dress out for the last game. You can sit on the bench, but you're not playing. Well, he was fine with that. He invited his family to come and watch him sit on the bench. He's going to get to run out and run across the field and sit on the bench. And y'all know the story. as it almost comes to the end of the game, suddenly there was in the crowd, you begin to hear, Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. Are you following me? And it, as it started, it began to grow all across the crowd until the coach sent him in. And when he sent him in, he got to play not one play, but two plays. And when it was all done, he was carried off the field on the shoulders of the other players, the only one that's done that. We are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. And it seems like sometimes I can hear, Shirley, 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 Bob, 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 are you hearing what I'm saying? And it seems like sometimes our dreams, you know, we almost give up on them. But there's a voice that won't let us give up. There's decrees that have been made against us. But there's a decree that won't let us get up. It's time to get up and get in the game, glory to God. Well, amen. Hallelujah. I like that. Tell somebody, don't give up. See, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't come in agreement with the enemy. Don't allow past failures and missed opportunities to dictate your future. Don't come into agreement with those who said you can't or you won't or you're not good enough. Don't accept the limitations that other people try to put on your lives. Amen. Don't, because their mind is so small, don't let it become your mind. Well, amen. Don't come into agreement with the diagnosis. That's not who you are. Come on now. That's not who you are. The doctor says, you've got this. Well, you're not that. Come on now. Don't come into agreement with that. The doctor says, you're going to have to put up with it. You're going to have to go. And this is the way the mop flops and the cookie crumbles. It's just life. You better always embrace it. No, that's not who I am. I don't come into agreement with that. Are you following me? Maybe from a distance, huh? Don't come in agreement with it. That's not who you are, and that's not what you do. Amen? So what I'm saying is make another decree. Make a new decree. Look at somebody and say, make another decree. And so as I was thinking about this, I just got some decrees I want to share with you. And I just got, it says, decrees for new life for the nations. Wow, how about that? I've got to get them over here. Pastor Shirley, I've got you a copy of them because, you know, you can frame it on the wall or whatever you want to do, throw darts at it. And Pastor Jerry, I've got you one too. Glory to God. You guys can have that one and she can have this other one. But making some new decrees, glory to God. Now, let me make a decree about health. Are you all ready? I want you to just come in agreement with it. Amen. I'm aware of the decrees that are designed for destruction, but no matter what the diagnosis has decreed, no matter the doctor's decree, no matter the decree of symptoms, aches and pain, I make a new decree, and I fix the seal of the Lord to it. I decree you're healed in hope. I decree that your body has a right to come alive and to evict every sickness, disease, and infirmity. I decree that life is swallowing up everything contrary to your holiness. I decree that every symptom has to bow to this decree and come to subjection to the king, and that your body is conforming to this decree even now. For salvation of loved ones, we know that the enemy has decreed that he will have our loved ones. But I make another decree, a new decree in the name of the King Jesus, and decree their heart is turning towards the Lord. A new decree that says spiritual blindness is being broken out of off of them, and they see their need for salvation. Another decree that they will come to and serve him all the days of their life, and they will be instrumental in advancing the kingdom of heaven in the earth. I decree that everything that has worked to keep them from serving the Lord now becomes distasteful to them, and the zeal of the Lord consumes them. I decree that they will discover their purpose and fulfill their destiny. How about some prosperity? Anybody up for that? I decree that the decrees that spoken that have limited your success and limit your financial prosperity, causing you to operate with a poverty mentality, succumb to another decree. A new decree of success and prosperity. A decree that says you are successful, that promotion belongs to you. A decree that you are no longer overlooked or ignored. But suddenly you have irresistible favor upon your life. Favor that attracts success and prosperity and repels failure and poverty. I decree another decree of increase and open doors of opportunity. A decree that lack is broken off your life. And you now begin to experience abundance. I decree that you've learned how to be abased, but now it's time to learn how to abound. Well, amen. Y'all need to get woke up a little bit. Glory to God. How about for new life for the nation here? The enemy has declared or decreed that you be hidden, overlooked, ignored, and ineffective. He said everything you attempt to accomplish would be derailed and that he would frustrate the vision and the work of this ministry. But I make another decree, and a new decree in the name of the King. I decree that you're no longer hidden, but you're sought out, desired, irresistibly attractive. I decree that men and women are finding their way into your midst and are a blessing to the life and ministry of new life for the nations. As they are taught the word of God and become equipped to fulfill their full potential, becoming fruitful, glorifying the King. I decree that ministries are birthed from out of this ministry that will shake the kingdom of darkness and free the captives, and that those that ministries will remain connected to this house. I decree that you will experience double for your trouble. When the enemy has been successful in pulling people away from you, you shall receive more than double of new, hungry, passionate, and teachable people. I decree another decree that says where the enemy has limited your effectiveness, you shall now be more than twice as effective as you've ever thought you could be. I decree that where finances have been robbed, detoured, held back, and held up, they now flow in rivers of abundance that you might have more than enough to fulfill the mandate and bless others. I decree that the spirit of multiplication and reproduction rests upon this ministry. See, you've got to learn to make another decree. Why settle for what the enemy says and everybody else says? Amen. Why should their unbelief be your unbelief? Come on now. Why should their depression and discouragement be affecting you? Listen, sometimes it's just their bitterness and their jealousy. Why do you let it into you? Come on now. I said just a few minutes ago, do you have a vision? Do you have a vision for the church? Come on. Make a new decree about it, glory to God. Don't accept what you see with the natural eye. Because what you see with the natural eye is temporal. It's subject to change. But what God says is eternal, glory to God. Get a hold of what God says and begin to decree that. And watch and see what God does, how he turns things around on your behalf. Come on. Where you've been in the muddy grubs, begin to make another decree. Watch God pick you up out of it and stand you up on your feet. When you feel like, well, it's been zapped. I tried to do something. I believed something was going to happen, but everything went wrong and went contrary. People left me. People deserted me. People talked about me. Make another decree. Glory to God. I'm a child of God. I shall rise up. A good man falls 7 times, but he gets up again. Look at somebody and say, get up. It's time to get up, glory to God, and make a stand, glory to God. Well, amen. I don't know. Y'all sitting there and I'm getting excited. It's time. It's time to say no to the devil. See, we get passive sometimes. We get hit so many times that we just sit back. We don't want to do anything. We don't want no more of that nonsense. But listen, you've got to get up and fight your way out of it. You've got to get up and say some things. You've got to get up and begin to take the challenge and say, no, devil, I'm not going down like that. Come on now. So you make a new decree. Make a new decree. Look at somebody and say, make a new decree. Make a new decree. Glory to God. Get out of my head, devil. Get out of my head, all you doubt and unbelief. Get out of my head. See, we get affected by so much stuff. Get out of my head. I remember years ago, there was a faith teacher. I think it was Jim Hughes. I'm not sure. But I remember he said he woke up one day. He noticed his wife all of a sudden was having issues. I mean, she was bow-legged. Don Hughes, she was bow-legged, and she wasn't as pretty as she used to be. He said, I got up one morning, and she was sitting in the mirror, and there she was in the mirror talking to herself. You ugly bow-legged thing. And she, you know, she began to speak things, and as she was speaking it, it got in her head. And her body began to conform with it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so he immediately, when he found out, stop that. Just stop it. Sort of like what I did to my wife one time. She had put some stuff in her hair. And I was downstairs in our house at the time. She was upstairs. And all of a sudden, I hear her, Jim! And I come running upstairs to see what's wrong. And she's in the bathroom. She says, look. And she goes like this, and hair is coming out in her hand. She said, what am I going to do? I said, the first thing you're going to do is stop that. Stop doing that. Are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes we just got to stop doing that. And just trust God and move with God and do what He wants us to do. Are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
Don't let somebody dictate your life. Don't let somebody dictate the life of this church. Come on now.
Amen.
Let's just get honest with it. There's some people that left. Some of them good. Some of them is good they left. I had one woman, she left. Put on Facebook how much she loved me, how good a father I was. And then she left, and I found out she was calling ministers before they ever came to minister to tell them how bad I was. And, I'm up to with a minister, and he says, that woman right there, she's trouble. And I thought, I knew that. I told my wife before she ever come to church, I said, watch her. And from past experience, see? Well, I ran into her after she left, and she wanted to come and hug me. I said, we ain't playing that. Yeah. And she says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you. I thought, hurt me? I celebrated you leaving. Come on now. See, we've got to learn something. Not everybody that's with us is for us. Huh? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And sometimes, the thing has to be purged before it can grow.
Yeah.
Amen. And sometimes, bless God, we go full circle. We go right back to where we started from so we can build up again. Don't despise the process. Well, amen. Now, all this right now, I'm not in my message. I'm just talking to you. Don't despise the process. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. And here's what I've discovered. When God does something, when God starts something, man can't shut it down. Man can't close it up. Come on now. I was telling Danny before service that, our church goes up and down. Right now, I've got people that drive 30 miles to come, and I can't get people to come 2 miles. Are you following what I'm saying? But you know what? When things look like it's going to get bad, guess what? God sent in people from 30 miles. 45. Well, I didn't even recognize you. And are you following what I'm saying? And so people come in, and we've got to understand that God has a way of taking care of us, and He will fulfill the vision. He will perfect that which concerns us. Get the doubt out of your head. Get the truth in and stand. Amen? Glory to God. Well, amen. Hallelujah. 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 So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the new decrees, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that you're moving to accomplish your will in new life for the nations and for each and every individual that makes that up, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that you're turning things around. I thank you, Father God, for this transition period. I thank you for it, Father. Don't wish it on anybody, but I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing, Lord God, that Lord God, we know that you know the end from the beginning, and that, Lord God, you're at work right in the midst of it. So I thank you, Father God, that there's going to come that release, that sudden thrust, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you're going to begin to set people in, Father God, and you're going to begin to cause people to stir up in their gifts and their talents and their abilities. That, Father God, there's going to be the locking of arms where people begin to become a strength to one another. I thank you for it, Father. Glory to God. Listen, the Bible says two are better than one. Because if one falls, the other one can hold them up. Listen, if you've not fallen, if you're not on the ground, then it's your duty to be holding somebody else up. Come on now. to strengthen your brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm just trying to fill God out and see where he wants to. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody say glory. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
One of the things about transitioning.
Hey, we're going to
preach
this Sunday.
Yeah. One of the things about transitioning is this, is that it can make you feel the most undone. And it can almost make you feel like you're being stripped and naked. But the Lord says that there's been many of you that have been in this house for the long haul.
Hallelujah.
And as I was sitting there, I heard the Lord say, some of them have been weary in well-doing. Come on.
Hallelujah.
And so I want an opportunity just to begin to minister. If that's you, I just need you to come up here. Amen. Just want to minister to you. Because I know when you go through transition and you're going through a process and you remain faithful and you remain steady, there are times you and I get weary. Come on. And if we don't allow the refreshing of the Lord to come, what begins to settle upon us is we want to reason it out. And normally by reasoning it out, then you become critical. And when you become critical, then you begin to birth bitterness. And when you begin to birth bitterness, then there comes a shutdown, a lockdown on the inside of your spirit. And it kills and it robs the joy of the Lord. Come on. Amen. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. All right? And I'm saying this not to point anything out, but or anyone out, because I've been there. And I've been there more than one time. And I know how vital it is to allow the refreshing of the Lord to come.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So I just want to give that invitation just real quickly. If that's you, you've just felt the weariness, the God, I don't understand. And it's troubling me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
One person
is going to be honest.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I need somebody to get with her.
Hallelujah.
She's already... Father, I thank you that your word says that times of refreshing come from the heat, from enduring. So, Father, I thank you that you're bringing a refreshing even now upon my sister. And, Father, that it's washing over her from the very top of her head all the way down to the bottom of her feet. And I thank you, Lord, I break the lies of the enemy off of her ear gates that have said, is this always going to be troubling? It's always going to be difficult. Is it always going to be hard? Is there ever going to be a breakthrough? Will things ever turn around? Will it ever remain steady? Will I ever be loved again? And the Lord says, yes, 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 yes. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. So, Father, I thank you,
thank you,
I give you glory, Father
thank
God.
Thank you, Father. Mm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Refreshing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God, I thank you there's refreshing for my pastor.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sister, I just really, really sense that the Lord has just given you an overhaul in your physical body. Amen. And I just see where there's just been an ongoing, almost like a torment. You've almost been in this place of where you just felt like I've got to cross every T and dot every I. And yet God said, I'm going to rescue you even from that. There's the joy of the Lord is going to begin to overtake you again. Amen. Because it's been a rough season for you. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for her deliverance. The Lord says, you know, where his spirit is, there's freedom and there's liberty. And I loose you into that freshness of freedom and liberation. I loose you, amen, to begin to experience the joy of the Lord again. I loose you from every tormenting spirit that would try to say you've got to measure up or you've got to do this or you've got to do that. I loose you even to be loved again. Wow. Thank you, Lord. In a greater measure.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I take authority over a demonic spirit of fear that has tried to just set down on you. And I thank you, Lord God, that she is free to be at peace. She's free to breathe you in. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm going to ask you to do a prophetic act with me.
Hold this just a minute. Hallelujah. Glory to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Pastor Shirley, I need you up here.
I'm
going to prophesy to her and stop. Hallelujah. Wind it up some, he says. Come here. Come here. I want to get her. I need you, somebody, to stay with her too. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I really, really felt like this thing with this recommissioning thing, pastors, is it's just, I really feel like God is recommissioning that prophetic mantle on your life. And that even when you sent me the light bulb that was on fire, I just thought, oh boy, here it comes. Amen. Hallelujah. God, I thank you for Pastor Shirley. I thank you for the prophetic mantle on her life, God. And Lord God, I just thank you, Lord God, that you're taking it up another notch. It's like there's coming a greater clarity in your ear gate to hear the Spirit of the Lord like never before. And God says, I'm going to come and I'm going to hit your belly with the fire of the Holy Ghost. There's a freshness of the Holy Ghost that's going to rest upon you in this hour and in this time, says the Spirit of the Lord. For the Lord says, even as I begin to hit your belly, the Lord says it's going to cause a breaking up of a dam. It's like you've been able to step into it periodically with a great release. And then there's other times it's almost like it feels like there's been such a boulder there. And the Lord says, I'm removing the boulders. I'm removing all the restrictions. And I'm bringing you into another whole place of freedom and a release that you've longed for and that you've cried for even privately, says the Lord. The Lord says, I'm going to begin to take you up on it. And the Lord says, even you're going to begin to even hear the words of the Lord, even concerning the nations and even what's happening within the regions. I see a very governmental prophetic mantle beginning to rest upon you. And the Lord says, as you begin to release it, it will shake the region. And God says, as it begins to shake the region, it's also going to do something within this church body that's going to allow a fresh awakening to come in here like never before. For the Lord says, I've spoke about this to you even 15 to 20 years back, and the Lord says you've remained steady and you've remained faithful. But God says, I'm wakening that thing up, and I've had it on hold for such a time as this. For the Lord says, you're going to cause such a governmental thing to shift within the region. It's almost as if the Lord says, with these decrees, this thing with the decrees, it's going to burn in you. It's like I hear almost like every service, you're going to have to release the decrees and the words of the Lord. And it's going to be with such a great force, says the Lord. And the Lord says, don't hold back from it, because God says, as I begin to release it, you're going to feel it in your belly and you're going to have to deliver it in that sensing that you've got. For the Lord says, I'm not even going to begin to shake up that which has been a demonic territorial thing. And the Lord says, I'm going to even begin to break that up as you speak and as you release. So God, I thank you for the fresh fire of the Holy Ghost that's hitting her belly afresh and a brand new. And I thank you, Lord God, that there's a recommissioning of that prophetic mantle that rests upon her life, that governmental thing, Lord God, that's going to cause a justice to come back within the house of the Lord, bringing it back to that place of holiness, says the Lord. Bring it back to that place where it's holy and it's good and it's pure, says God. God says, as you decree the thing, it will be established, and it will be established according to my word. And God says, you'll be one that will stand and my words will not hit the floor, says God, but it'll accomplish that which I set it forth to, says the Spirit of the Lord. So God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for a fresh release of that a prophetic mantle and the fire of the Holy Ghost coming upon her like never before. In the name of Jesus, she will hear, and the fire of God will so consume her. It'll be a consuming fire. It'll be a consuming fire. It'll be a consuming fire all around about her, Lord God. She won't be able to contain it. There'll have to be a release, says God. You're going to have to release it. You're going to have to release it. And the Lord says there's going to be times you won't even feel like you're going to be able to contain it. But God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
Hallelujah.
I want more of you, God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't accept. Yeah. Don't accept false responsibility. It's not. As we said, we're gonna meditate prophetically in our life, but thing, yeah. Anita, this and Anita that. Anita, I've been drawn to you ever since we started ministering up here, and I saw you in a doorway, and it's like the sky's cleared everywhere. I mean, it's like a doorway in the sky, and the sky's cleared everywhere, and you're kind of standing in the doorway, where I can see on both sides, and you're standing there. And I heard the Lord say, don't look back, but turn around and go through the door. Don't let what's happened in the past hinder you. Don't let what's happened in the past to anchor you when the blessings of God are right before you. Go ahead and step through the door. It's okay. You have the permission of God to go forward. And as you're going forth, you're going to see that everything is sky and is blue, it's good. You're going to see the things that you've longed for and the things that you dreamed about suddenly begin to come to pass. I see also, as I'm speaking to you, I see that you're coming through a turbulent time. And it's just like it was meant to try to zap you and to suck all the life out of you. But there's new life for you. Glory to God. What? You're a new life. There's new life for you. And there's yet things to be accomplished that you have dreamed about. It's almost like you put your dreams on the shelf, and it's like something ended. And when that ended, you thought your dreams ended too. But God says, no, your dreams have not ended. Take them off the shelf. For God says, I'm going to breathe on them once again, and you're going to begin to see things come alive. I also see some relationships now to suddenly begin to up and begin to be restored, and even new relationships coming into your life. God says, where people try to write it off and write it out, God said, I'm going to write it in, and you're going to see, I'm going to do it again, says the Lord. And the Lord says, as I begin to move in this situation on your behalf, the Lord says he's going to release the joy into your heart and into your life once again. I see not only spinning around with celebration and enjoying the things that God has for you, but I see now that you're going to begin to dream again, and you're going to begin to see life unfold on your behalf again. The enemy sought to take your dream, but God wouldn't let him have it. And even though it seems like it's just been a long time coming, and like I said, something took place that tried to rob you of your dream, and you thought the dream died as that thing ended, or that died, or whatever. But you thought it all ended then, but God said, no, it didn't end then. The Lord says, things are just about to begin for you now. Go on, turn around, and go through the door. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, It's a shame people hadn't come out from town more. This lady here come all the way from Owensboro.
Yeah.
Owensboro. And so I've got to minister to her.
Yes.
Tell me your name again.
Jordan.
Jordan. Hallelujah. Jordan, as I was standing up here listening to my wife go off, I saw you. And it was like you were in this pit, and I saw this rope hang down to you. And there was knots in the rope. Not just one knot, but knots in the rope. And I saw you get a hold of the rope and begin to pull yourself up out of it. And as you're pulling yourself out of it, all of a sudden I see that your labor has ceased. And now you're being pulled up out of it. And the Lord says, you've experienced a little bit here lately. And you've experienced some of the goodness that I have for your life. But the Lord said, there's more knots. There's more knots. Reach up again and take a hold of the rope, for the Lord said, I'm going to pull you up even higher, and you're going to begin to experience more of me than you've ever experienced before. For the Lord said, I'm going to overshadow you with my love, my mercy, and my grace. And the Lord said, I'm going to put identity in you. For the Lord said, you've let other people identify you, and you let other people say who you are and what you can do and what you can accomplish. But the Lord said, I have much more for you than that. The Lord said, I have plans for your life that you're not even known of. And the Lord said, they're good plans, and as I begin to pull you up, I'm going to put something underneath your feet so you'll have a platform to stand on. You'll not have to worry about, will I fall back? Will I trip back? Get a hold of the knots, Jordan, and begin to let me lift you up. And the Lord says, I'll cause you to stand. And every step that I pull you up, you'll see another side of me. You'll see more of my love, more of my grace, and more of my mercy. And the Lord says, I'm going to so move in your life that it's going to, and in your thinking, that it's going to change even the way you see yourself, and the way when it changes the way you see yourself, others are going to change the way they see you, and you're going to begin to see the joy of the Lord begin to come into your life. The Lord says, I'm going to cause you to experience promotion. And as you experience promotion, the Lord says, one step at a time. The Lord said, I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to stabilize you. I'm going to promote you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to stabilize you. I'm going to promote you. The Lord said, all you have to do is grab a hold of the knot. Hallelujah.
And listen, Jordan, I also really feel this strongly. The enemy should have taken you out when he had a chance. So your life is full of greatness. And there's a grace on you right
Hallelujah.
Now. Like never before. There's such a... I feel your hunger. I feel your hunger for what is genuine and what is pure and what is right. And God says he's going to come to you in that way.
Hallelujah.
You're fixing to have a fresh visitation and encounter with God that you're on. Amen. It's like I literally see him coming to you. It's almost as if you're being rebirthed again for what's ahead of you. Amen. So, Father, I just thank you for the things you've predestined in Jordan's life. And I thank you, God, that she's chose the better. She got here.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Lord, I just speak a fresh release even to her. A fresh release, God, to love, to have joy, to be happy, to be content, to be at peace. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you in her pursuit, Father, for what is true and what is genuine. God, I thank you. You're taking her up on it.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I speak life to the giftings, life to every calling that's upon her life, God. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The voice that God's given you is not just so everybody can say you've got a nice voice. Come on. But there's an anointing that's going to rest upon it.
Thank you.
As you give yourself more to it. Amen. It's going to release the atmosphere so miracle signs and wonders begin to happen.
Hallelujah.
I also just heard the Spirit of the Lord say he's also going to begin to release the prophetic songs.
Yeah, that's
out of you. The songs of the Lord in those
Hallelujah.
Moments. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank
Do you play keyboard? Yeah, you told me you did. Thank you, Lord. I just now remembered
Thank
that.
You.
Give yourself to that.
Hallelujah.
That's going to really help bring more of a freedom and a release for you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord, it's not like I need a keyboard player.
Yeah. Brother Kenny, I just heard the Lord say he's going to begin to visit you, and the way he's going to come to you is he's going to begin to touch your body. I see the healing power of God resting upon you even now. It's almost like a washing away of what was. Amen. And you're going to begin to experience such a turnaround in your physical body that when you go back to the doctors, you're going to begin to see the report begin to change for the good. Every report is going to get better and better and better and better. God says to tell my son, I am renewing his youth. Amen. And you're not going to lack anything, but you're going to begin to gain. You're going to begin to have a youthfulness in the physical body that's going to allow you to do some things that you would like to be able to do. Amen. The Lord knows. Amen. So he's going to come to you in that way. Amen. You're a good man.
Hallelujah.
God loves you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He really does.
Hallelujah.
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 Brother Danny, the Lord says, where have you been, my son? Come on. Come here.
Hallelujah.
Even as you're coming, the Lord says, you're stepping into something fresh and new. And it's something that you've longed for, and you thought, God, everything has been such a mess. How can I possibly, and where do I begin to begin? And God says it begins in the right here and the right now.
Yeah.
Amen. God says he's not changed his mind concerning you. Amen. And I see the Lord visiting you in dreams, and prophetic dreams are going to begin to come alive to you. It's almost like I hear the Lord saying, tell him to be sure to keep pencil and paper close to you, because he's going to begin to be very, very detailed. It's like I see you having one repetitious dream after another, because God is building something. He's building a message in it. He's going to begin to, it's like painting of a picture, but he's going to give it to you piece by piece. So the things of the Lord are going to become alive for you again. Amen. And I also see where times pass, it's almost as if everything has so crashed in on you that it's really, really just trying to rob you of your energy, rob you of joy, rob you of just having an excitement about your pursuit in the Lord. And the Lord said that thing just tried to just literally try to take you out. But the Lord said, my hand was upon you, son, and I didn't allow it to take you out. And I'm not going to leave you at the place of just feeling undone. I see the God just coming and crashing in on you and doing something. The soul is going to eradicate your physical body, that he's going to begin to raise you up. And God says, even though you've had heart problems in the natural, there's been a spiritual heart problem. And the Father says, I'm massaging your heart again because it's been so broken and so undone. But God says, you watch me fix it and you watch me make it whole again. It's almost as if your heartbeat is going to begin to beat as it should. And God said, when it happens like that in your spirit, then your physical heart will begin to respond on its own like it needs to. Amen. God's not going to leave you with a broken heart.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, Father, I thank you that there's a refreshing for your son tonight. And God, that you've not changed your mind concerning him. And Lord, I thank you there's just coming an awakening even to that dreamer on the inside of him. The Lord says, get the junk out of your head and no more small dreaming. God says, begin to dream big again. There was a day you used to dream big, and life has just tried to crush it and squash it to the point that you don't even want to dream. It's like you do, but you don't. It's too painful if you do. Okay? And the Lord knows that. But you're going to dream again. God said, get that junk out of your head. Amen? Because it's not him, and it's not all the other stuff. In the process, the enemy has tried to come up against you with everything he's got to shut you down. I see this. There's something within the family that the Father is breaking off of you guys. There's a fulfillment, a legacy of fulfillment here. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And you've not missed your moment, says God. And it's not too late. Just as mark the calendar tonight, because this is your marketing night. This is your relaunching night. This is your moment. Amen. And listen to me. The days of you being in the background are over. Come on. You're going to begin to pour and invest in people again. You're going to begin to take the risk to love people again. Amen. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for the word of the Lord over my brother, and I seal it forever and ever. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're doing a heart thing there, that the physical body is going to begin to respond to it. He's going to take on life and liveliness again. He's going to begin to run with the things of the Lord, and the enthusiasm and the joy of who you are upon his life and through his life is going to be something so fresh and brand new. He's not even going to be able to measure it to what was, because it's so brand new. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Seal it forever and ever in the name of Jesus. Just take a deep breath, Danny. No, I said take a deep breath. Real deep. Breathe him in. Come on. Breathe. When was the last time you did? Come on. Breathe him in. That's his breath. Come on. Do it again.
Says that there was a period 10 years ago that you would just walk the halls and walk from room to room and just talk to me about the things that I was showing you. And the Lord says, you're going to do it again. The Lord said, I'm going to waken up that fervor within your spirit. And the Lord said, you'll not just talk about the things that you hear me say. The Lord said, I'm going to cause that seer to begin to be awakening in you, and you will see, and you'll see clearly, and you'll see accurately. The Lord says that the enemy's tried to convince you that those things are over, those things are done, and you just can't tap in the way you desire to. But the Lord says, no, I'm going to create the fervor in you again, and you'll walk these halls again. Yeah. You'll walk from room to room, and you'll run to get to the next room, because it's just such a stirring in your spirit. And you'll begin to decree what I'm doing and what you see me doing, and you'll begin to see those things begin to unfold in your life, not only for your own life, but the Lord says, and the Lord says, make declarations and decrees about your own life and what you want to see. But the Lord says it's been such a dry spell and such a dry season that it looked like that this is just something you're going to have to put up with for the rest of your life. But the Lord says, no, it's not so. You begin to make those decrees and watch me begin to unfold. The Lord says, I've said that that the righteous can decree that there is lifting up, and there will be lifting up. So the Lord says, begin to make those decrees, and I will lift things up on your behalf, and I'll put things back in position and back in place in your life. The Lord says, where it looked like it was a Humpty Dumpty thing, that all the pieces were scattered and nothing could be put back together, the Lord says, watch me work as you begin to make those decrees. And I begin to show you, says the Lord, not only what to say, but I begin to show you the outcome of what you say before you ever says it, says the Lord. Glory to God. Well, amen. Like we said, we're going to prophesy to everybody that tomorrow night. And I dare you, take the challenge to bring people and see if you can shut it down. I know that, you know, years ago, you remember that in the old building when the electricity went out? And everybody had to pull the cars up. We just kept right on prophesying.
In the dark.
In the dark. And then I remember a few years ago, I said I prophesied, everybody showed up, and it wasn't that many people here. But I began to prophesy. I started down at one end, got to the other end, and there was another row. And I prophesied that. I went to prophesying, to singing over people, and I don't sing, and then and to rhyming over people. And I thought, my God, what are you doing? Calling people in here? Went out in the hallway, and that's what happened. I caught some sister out there saying, come on, he's prophesying. But I want to say all that to say this. We'll minister to everybody you get here. Amen. Now it's up to you. You get them here, we'll minister to them. They need to be encouraged, we'll encourage them. Glory to God in the Lord. Amen. One other thing before I turn it over. I just kept feeling this. I hit this thing a couple of times. you got some kind of report from the doctor that this is the way it's got to be for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
If that's you, just raise your hand. I don't even have to look, but I just want you to acknowledge it. Father, I thank you that the doctors do what they do. I thank you, Lord God, for them. But God, I make another decree now in the name of Jesus. And I say there's a divine reversal going on,
yes.
Lord God.
Yes.
That, Lord God, what the enemy meant for evil, you turn to good.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord God, that you eradicate sickness, disease, infirmities out of the lives of your people, out of your children, Lord God. And that, Lord God, that the decree is reversed, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Here's what's got to be for the rest of their lives, Father. Health, happiness, wholeness, joy, strength, peace. In the name of Jesus. Well, amen.
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 All right. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
One more. Mackenzie, there's coming a greater anointing upon you even as a musician, but I just heard the Lord say, tell her the reason why it's been frustrating working for other people is because you're an entrepreneur. That's why it's so difficult working for someone else. But God says, don't despise this process that you're in right now. God said, what you're faithful to that belongs to another man, amen, he'll entrust you with. And it's almost as if I, even as I'm speaking, it's almost as if I see it's like a business that you're going to be working for, but at some point, you're going to have the opportunity to have the business. It's like the groundwork will already be done. And you'll just transition into that. Amen. But the Lord wants you to understand why it's been so difficult working with other people for them. Amen. The Lord's working something in you that goes beyond, you know, not necessarily that people get on your nerves, because you love people. You really do. But there's such a place of excellence that you carry that's very raw. And so when things aren't being done rightly, it rubs you like to
Absolutely.
No end. But the Lord says, you know, stay faithful with where you're at. You're in a process. You're learning some things. And he's still developing your character and your ability to work there. Now, this is the hard part. God says, learn the grace of being quiet. Okay? That even if they're wrong, he doesn't necessarily want you to trumpet it. Learn the grace of quietness. Amen. And if you need the release, God says, bring it to me. Okay? Bring it to me. Because what happens is when you're opening that to everything and everybody else, then this demonic thing gets involved in it. And it puts you in an upheaval. It's like a spiral. And it doesn't have to be. Okay? So part of the frustration is because you're an entrepreneur. You're going to have your own business. Okay? It's all good.
Yes.
Just hang in with the process. Okay? Because he's working, he's developing you. All right? I just heard this too. This thing with excellence that you carry, it's almost like I see you having opportunities to speak at universities on excellence, on character, on these things that God is developing in you. You're going to be able to bring it from the Spirit, from where you're at, to where anybody can get it, saved or unsaved. They're going to be able to catch this. Okay? Yeah. It's more to you than what you realize. So, Father, I thank you for the entrepreneur that's upon Mackenzie. And Father, I thank you that you hold her in the process and that you teach her the grace of, you're teaching her the grace of quietness. In the name of Jesus.
Now on the flip side of that, I see the Lord is going to overshadow you by His Spirit, and He's going to cause seasons of drunkenness where He's going to stretch you beyond your comfort zone. I heard the Lord say, I've made her a key into the realm of my Spirit. And the Lord says, you'll open up things as you begin to play and minister, not just simply play and minister through sheet music, but the Lord says, I will overshadow you and you shall begin to play by my Spirit. And as you play by my Spirit, it will open up the heavens and others will be able to walk right in and begin to partake of that which I'm doing in your life. And the Lord says, it'll be times and seasons where you'll just lay out on the keyboard, unable to perform any longer because of my presence heavily resting on you. And the Lord says, even as I'm doing that, the Lord said, I'm going to do something in the midst of you at the same time. The Lord says, I'm going to begin to cause a stirring within your spirit that whereas you will be silent on the job, there'll be opportunities now, the Lord says, that you'll begin to stand before young people and you'll begin to talk to young people. You'll begin to release things out of your spirit. But the Lord says, there have been those who want to shut the door on you and want to say, no, not now, don't do that. But the Lord says, no, I positioned you and I placed you in places that you'll be able to flow. And the Lord said, I'm going to cause that stirring in your spirit and it will be released. And as you begin to speak, the Lord says, you'll walk away from things and say, what did I just say? What just happened? But you'll know it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And the Lord says, I will fulfill the longing within your spirit, because so much time you just seem so frustrated because you can't pour out that which God has poured into you. But the Lord said, that's about to stop. I'm uncorking you and I'm going to pour you out, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Now watch, I've got the microphone.
Concerning prayer as you play, it's I hear you releasing words to heaven. As you're playing, it's like the heartbeat of God is going to become so real to you in a whole new dimension. And I say this because there's a fresh birthing of prayer coming to this house again. And God says, you'll come in and you'll play as they pray. Amen. And you'll begin to release the words from heaven that are coming up in your spirit as you play. God said, it's almost like that is going to be kind of like your playground. You're testing your waters. And God says, you're going to so love it. You're going to so enjoy it. It's like you can't wait for the, okay, we're doing this again tomorrow night, right? It's like it's going to be an eruption on the inside of you. Amen? So God is birthing something in prayer inside of you as you play.
You ever notice how she's got to get the last word? Hallelujah. Who wants this? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'll say this in closing. If you haven't been blessed tonight, you've been asleep. And we're going to come back here tomorrow night at the same time, and it's going to be better and bigger. And some other people are going to realize what they missed tonight, and they're going to say, man, I got to go tomorrow night. So just tell them. Call and tell them, man, you really missed it by not being there tonight. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we're getting ready to leave this place, go to our homes. And Lord God, we're counting on your spirit, that ghost inside us, to keep us in remembrance of what you've done here tonight. Let us, Lord God, log it in a safe place in our human computer so that we can call upon it and we can remember what you've told us tonight. We, Lord God, will prosper and succeed in all that you have for us to do because we do not quit. on Saturday. We do not quit on Monday. We just do not quit. And we thank you, Lord God, for that staying power. In Jesus' name, amen.